The ravens are everywhere. These massive black birds are swarming over this vast plain, this battlefield, this vast, bloody, gruesome field under this gray, forlorn sky. And these birds are attacking the living and the dead alike, and they're attacking both sides in this huge battle that has been ongoing for so long. And I'm one of these warriors, at least I am in this dream that I had last night. I'm trying to battle these big birds as they're attacking from all directions with their gnashing beaks, their screaming caws, and their big flapping wings, and I'm trying my best, and I know that if I can just deploy one of these powers that I have followed by another in just the right sequence, that I'll be able to stave off their attacks. But they're getting through, and they're attacking, and they're starting to make more and more contact, and their beaks are gouging at me, and I know that I'm going down, and I know that this is the end. This is the end, even though I am some kind of a warrior god. I'm going to die, and the whole thing, everything will be for nothing. This battle will end for me, and when I go down, there's no hope for either for my people, and I can see already that both sides are going down. The final victor. The victors in this battle will be the birds. The ravens will win. And it's a terrible knowledge. And yet I struggle with my last breath as I'm dropping to the ground. I try to stave off these attacking creatures, but I can't stop them. And I know there's no way that we can win. And then I wake up. That's the dream I had last night. So whatever the heck that had to do with anything, I don't know. But I thought you might be interested. Why not start off the podcast with a little bit of drama, right? Welcome to the Introverted Exhibitionist Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Jashonik, the USA Today best-selling author of science fiction, fantasy, mystery, comics, and all kinds of things, many of which you might have read. And it's been a little while since I've done one of these podcasts, so I might be just a little bit rusty, but we'll see. We're going to give it a shot anyway, because I thought it was about time. You know, sometimes you have to get back in touch with folks and let them know that you're still around and things are still fun and the writing is still happening. And so here I am. So what's been going on, right? Well, the holidays happened. That was a very busy time. There were a lot of activities related to Christmas and New Year's and things that were just happening, visitors and guests, and it was, you know, as you probably have experienced yourself during that time of year, it was kind of a hectic time. I didn't get a lot accomplished. I had a huge to-do list. It was so long. I had such high hopes, but I could not accomplish them. And, well, part of the reason was my day job. I do work as a technical writer and a proposal writer for a company. And we got very, very busy with a big proposal right at that time, and I could not get to my writing, and I was working in the evenings on this proposal and on the weekends, so I didn't get to take the time off that I had hoped to, and so that meant that I did not have a super productive holiday season, and that sort of rolled into the beginning of the year as well. I've been having a little bit of trouble with motivation. That happens from time to time, not too often for me, but every now and then, even the most motivated of us, you know, have a little bit of a moment of weakness, shall we say. But I'm trying to pick up the pace again as I get a little deeper into January, and I think I'm doing pretty well. Just finished a short story, and I'm working on some other materials that I don't want to talk about quite yet because I don't want to jinx them, but things are going pretty well, and I'm starting to get back in the groove. So that kind of brings you up to date, I guess. Some other things have been happening, of course. I'm scheduled for surgery soon. I'm going to have my eyes worked on because I have cataracts that are causing light flares, especially at night. And it's getting worse progressively, and it's time to get them operated on. So that could cause a little bit of a hiccup in my production schedule as well. I'm not looking forward to that at all. But, hey, maybe I'll get some good fiction writing material out of it, the experience. Everything in life is potentially good material, right, to feed back into the writing. So you know, that's coming up. Can't wait. And, you know, otherwise, I've been still going to the Y, the YMCA, and working out, and that's been very exciting lately because they got new shower heads in the showers, in the men's showers. It's unbelievable. They put new shower heads in there. That's the first time they've done that since I've been going there. And I've been going there for like 20 years. And, you know, our local Y runs on a shoestring budget. It truly does. I understand that. But this has been a long time coming, so it's very exciting to see this happening. That's the big event, right? That's my big exciting news. New shower heads at the Y. But it was kind of a good thing to see that they're making a little bit of progress there, because I do love the Y, and I love working out. I'm trying my best to maintain some level of healthiness, if possible, in spite of my sedentary lifestyle otherwise, because my day job requires me to sit in a chair most of the time and work on documentation, and my writing and publishing, of course, is done from a chair again. So it would be good to avoid deep vein thrombosis, if possible, don't you think? So I think that brings you up to date, more or less. Right now, like I said, my productivity is starting to ramp back up. I've also been assembling my team of interns for the semester. I work with college interns at my publishing company, Pi Press, IE Books. And I have a really interesting group of students coming in this time. They're not all on board quite yet, but I'll be talking more about them in weeks to come. And with any luck, they'll be talking to you as well. I'm planning to get them involved in the podcast to make them a part of this, because I thought you might like to meet them. And I'm really looking forward to it, because we have some really interesting and talented people coming on board. We have a student from the University of Pittsburgh, Joe Melillo. We have students from the University of Iowa, which, of course, is renowned for its writing and publishing programs. Sonia Belts and, oh my goodness, come on, almost there. And, Jenny Aker. And then also, hopefully, a student from Carnegie Mellon University, if all goes well. So we could have a really great staff. And so far, the work that I've seen from the students who've been working with me at Pi Press has been just top quality. I mean, they're really some very talented people. So I hope you'll hear from them more in weeks to come, but I wanted to give you a little heads up that they're coming around. And that's been keeping me occupied, getting them on board, getting the tools set up. We have some project management software that we're working with, and working with Slack and Google Drive and some other tools, and bringing everybody together and having them function as a team. So it's been a really great experience. I've worked with student interns for years, maybe five or six or seven years. I can't even remember exactly how many, but it's been a while. We've had a lot of them. And it's been a really interesting experience and very worthwhile. So we'll talk about that a little bit more in weeks to come. And anyway, I thought I would next do a little bit of a reading for you from something that I've been looking at here this evening, because I'm working on trying to get some novels done and edited and published. So this is an excerpt from one of my new novels, which is called The Starbarian Saga, Book 1. And it's coming along pretty well. I'm really looking forward to getting it out there, and I think you're going to enjoy it as well. So, here we go. This is a scene in which there's a battle between these two barbarian characters in a post-apocalyptic future on planet Earth. Lightning flashed just as Torque slammed Angar down to the muck, sending his sword flying. Before the thunder followed, a downpour of rain suddenly burst from the clouds, drenching the plain in all directions. Whoosh! Boom! Just as Torque raised his broadsword, ready to plunge it into his opponent's chest, Angar lunged at him, knocking him back. This time it was Torque's sword that flew as the two men dropped, wrestling desperately in the mud. Rain continued to blast them as they fought, rolling and twisting and clawing to the sounds of screams and clanging weapons all around them. Every blow felt like a death blow. Every hold felt like the end. Yet Angar and Torque struggled on, too evenly matched for the tide to turn one way or the other. "Yield," shouted Torque. "Accept the doom you deserve." Angar's answer was to gather all his strength and flip his opponent down brutally, then grab a nearby rock and raise it high. "You deserve doom! You deserve the torture and terror you've given so many helpless people!" With a furious curse, Torque grabbed Angar's arm and kept it from swinging down at his head with the rock. He forced it back suddenly, aimed right at Angar's head, intending to smash it to a bloody pulp. Again, lightning flashed. Waboom! The rock shook. As both men jockeyed for control, again they were deadlocked, trapped in a stalemate, unable to break the balance and push everything one way or the other. Then suddenly, they were bathed in a bright red flare. Their struggle didn't end, but they both turned their gazes up into the flickering light. This time it had nothing to do with lightning. What they saw hovering over them was the figure of a man robed in bright yellow flame. Seemingly unaffected by the pouring rain, he stared down at them with flashing, burning eyes. Somehow he was not consumed by the fire, though it engulfed him entirely, except for his bronzed face, hands, and feet. Because they had met his kind before, the men knew exactly what he was, though his reasons for being there escaped them both. That in itself wasn't unusual, though he didn't keep them guessing for long. "Angar Crux! Torque Gaugor!" The fire-robed man's voice boomed louder than the thunder, making his words heard all across the plain and beyond. "How many times has it been?" For once, Angar and Torque's gazes met without hostile intent. They scowled, wondering what the burning man meant and what he wanted. 100? 1,000? How many times have you tried and failed to destroy each other?" The fire-cloaked man spread his arms wide, releasing sparks and ashes to swirl up into the sky. "I will not fail this time," snapped Angar, clenching his teeth and pushing the rock harder toward Torque. "By the searing winds of Chromathon, I swear I will annihilate him this time." "Swear all you like, but we both know the truth." The blacksmith raised his arms higher and his flames flared brighter. "Neither of you can win against the other. Your endless war is hopeless." "What do you know, blacksmith?" said Angar. "When did you last win a war?" "This morning," roared the blacksmith. As the echoes of his voice died down, so too did the cacophony of battle on the plain. The clanging of iron and howls of rage and pain faded. Torque and Angar suddenly realized that all their fighters were listening closely to every word from the burning man. "Believe me when I say, I can help one of you win your war, too." "How?" Angar and Torque said in unison. "A contest, tomorrow." The blacksmith's flaming cloak rippled in the wind and rain, but never went out. "The winner will receive a mystical weapon that will finally break this impasse. The winner will be unstoppable. The loser will be dead." Angar and Torque's eyes widened, never doubting it could be so. The blacksmiths had a long history of using their magic to perform the impossible. But the details of the contest were still important. "Tell us more about this contest and weapons," said Torque. "How will they both work?"
"You have until sunrise tomorrow to accept," said the blacksmith. "That is all you need to know."
"Except how?" snarled Angar.
"Tell a fire," said the blacksmith. "We will know." With that, he suddenly spun and disappeared in a whirl of flaming tongues. Glowing yellow embers swam away from the spot where he'd been, hissing out in the drenching downpour and falling as sodden ashes to the mud.
So there you go. What do you think? I hope that was exciting and action-packed enough for you. That's, again, it's an excerpt from Horde's Challenge, Book 1 of the Starbarian Saga. It's coming up in just a couple of months, just as soon as we put the finishing touches on it. The cover is really something. But it's a cover by Tom Edwards, who's a British cover artist who is really just wonderful. He really does some great work. Wait till you see the cover of that book. You're going to just be blown away. We did make it available last year for a very brief time as part of a story bundle.
But it's been off sale ever since. So if you want to read this and read the fully improved and fleshed out version of the book, you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer. I will let you know when it's coming. So please stay tuned to the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast for the latest news on the Starbarian saga. So that's your reading for this time around. That brings us to my closing thought. I know you're saying, how can it be time for closing thought already? We just started this podcast, it seems like. Well, that is true, but it does go fast, and we're going to keep this kind of brief this time around, just to sort of give it a try and see how things go. So my closing thought actually revolves around an important figure in the science fiction fantasy field who passed away this past week. And his name was Mike Resnick. He's, of course, very well known in the field. He's renowned, multiple award winner. I think he won more awards for short fiction in science fiction and fantasy than any other writer. And he was just a great guy. And he was a mentor of mine for a long time. I was what has come to be called one of Mike's writer children. Okay. And I met him through PS Publishing a while back. Boy, I can't even remember when that was. Maybe 12 years ago, something like that. He wrote the introduction to a collection of my stories for PS Publishing. It was called Mad Scientist Meets Cannibal. And it was a really nice introduction. And I followed up on that introduction by approaching him, and I got to know him a little bit. And we worked together on some collaborations, and I just really enjoyed him. He provided guidance and really helped me in some really important ways. And I really got to know him. I didn't really meet him in person, but I spoke with him over the phone and by chat and email, and he bought a bunch of my stories for his magazine, Galaxy's Edge. And really liked my work, and I was really glad to get to know him. Anyway, it's been kind of difficult to know that he's no longer with us, because I really enjoyed him. He had a great personality, and he was a great guy. He did a lot for a lot of people, helping people to get experience in the field and to build careers in the field, which not everybody does. You know, it's time consuming and difficult. But you know, Mike went out on a limb and did a lot of that kind of work. He did a lot of work with Writers of the Future, an organization that has helped a lot of writers over the years to get exposure and to get their careers kickstarted. And he has had a lot of these writer children who he's taken under his wing over the years and helped in their careers. And I'm proud to say that I was one of them. So, you know, I think it's important to see somebody like that and to think about what they contributed to the field and to the world, because he really did make a difference in a lot of writers' lives and helped them to get going and to get their careers into gear. And he did that out of the goodness of his heart. Really, it didn't do him any financial good, and he was paying it forward right up into his old age, you know. And excuse me, I really admired him because of that, and I still do. I see him as an example that's important for people in the field to follow, because there are always ways for us to pay it forward, to help others in the field, and to help people who are maybe just getting started, or are trying to make a change, or trying to improve some aspect of their careers. And I'm really proud that I got to know him and other folks who've also inspired me in that way. You know, he's on my mind right now because, you know, he's no longer with us. I can't just chat him up over Facebook chat or through the email or pick up the phone and call him anymore. He's gone. But he left that important example, I think. And also he left another important example, which is his high productivity and the quality of his work, both of which remained steady right into his old age, right up to almost until the end. He was writing books and publishing right and left. It was really amazing to see. I would pop up and ask him, you know, what do you have going on? And he'd be like, well, I'm working on this book, and I just published that one, and I'm doing this, and I'm editing that. And he had like so many projects going on at the same time. It was amazing, you know. And the guy was not a spring chicken, you know. It was impressive, and he left a solid example there for me and for all of us who are writers to follow, because he was working hard and being creative and proving that it could be done right up until, almost up until the end. So rest in peace, Mike. You made a big difference in my life and the lives of a lot of people in a lot of ways. And you should be proud of what you accomplished. I know I'm very pleased that I got to know you and be a small part of your life in some small way. So I just wanted to talk about Mike a little bit there. And that brings us to the end of the Introverted Exhibitionist podcast for this time around. I'd just like to remind you that you can find me on the social media all over the place. I'm easy to find. You can look me up on Facebook, Robert Jeschonek. You can look me up on Twitter as @TheFictioneer. You can look me up on Instagram. You can look me up on Patreon. That's a great place to go. You know, you might want to consider as one of your New Year's resolutions to support a fellow writer. And you can be one of my very special patrons. And if you, you know, throw a little bit something into the Patreon kitty each month, I will give you special gifts and rewards, and I'll announce your name on my podcast. I'll talk about you on my podcast in a positive way. Okay? So that's something you might want to think about. So please be sure to look me up on social media. And I also hope that you'll leave a positive rating or review online. That really helps this podcast to stay viable and to gain additional supporters and listeners. And I also want to encourage you, especially, to check out on Facebook my reading group, which is called Robert's Readers. Robert's Readers on Facebook. If you go to that group, you will get all kinds of free goodies for no obligation, okay? I will occasionally post free stories, free content. I'll direct you to free content online, all kinds of stuff. And plus, we have a nice community. Every so often, I get some new members, and we talk about things, and we'll have little questions, and I want to do some contests and have some fun things happening there really soon. So please, get in there. Join Robert's Readers. You know you want to. You know you want to be a part of my reading group. I know you do. You're so welcome. This is your personal invitation from me to you. Please, come to Robert's Readers. We need you. So, that wraps it up for another edition of the IE Cast. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. You are always most welcome. If you're a writer, keep on writing. If you're an artist, keep on arting. If you're a musician, keep on performing. Whatever you love most, keep on doing it, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody. Good night from Planet Bob. Until next time, thanks for joining the IE Cast, and I'll see you back here again very soon.